Amen. The first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verses 21 through 27. You may read along from your pew Bibles, beginning on page 68. Listen for the word of the Lord. You shall not wrong or oppress a resident alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall not abuse any widow or orphan. If you do abuse them, when they cry out to me, I will surely heed their cry. My wrath will burn, and I will kill you with the sword. And your wives shall become widows, and your children orphans. If you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, you shall not deal with them as a creditor. You shall not exact interest from them. If you take your neighbor's cloak and pawn, you shall restore it before the sun goes down. For it may be your neighbor's only clothing to use as cover. And what else shall that person sleep? And if your neighbor cries out to me, I will listen, for I am compassionate. The word of the Lord.
We continue our readings from the Gospel of Luke. We're in the seventh chapter. We're looking at verses 11 through 17. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Don't weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The word of the Lord.
So, Cindy, I don't know what to do.
What do you mean, Amy?
Well, you know, I get all these requests from different organizations asking for money, and international, local. We come to church, and there's all these different things to give to, and they're all great causes, and they're all huge needs. And, you know, I make enough money, but not that much to give away, and I have bills to pay, and the little bit that I can give away, it's not going to be a drop in the bucket with that huge need.
I know what you mean, but why didn't you just choose one and give to that?
Well, because if I gave to this one, then I wouldn't be giving to all of those, and those people would be going without.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know.
What you have just witnessed is a case of a first world disease. And that disease is compassion paralysis. It occurs when limited resources meet up with unlimited need. And we all know the feeling, right? How many of you this last week got something in your mailbox asking you, someone, and chances are you got something with it, you know, some stickers for your envelopes or something else. But that's one of the things that we struggle with, right? Is that there is so much need and our resources are so limited and we become sort of paralyzed. So the question is there a cure? And the answer is yes. But the cure, you're not going to find at the drugstore. No physician can prescribe it for you. The cure is imitating the compassion of Jesus Christ. Now I realize that many of you will say, but John, compassion is what Jesus does. It's sort of his middle name, Jesus Compassion the Christ. It is part of his job description that he is to be compassionate. That we just can't imagine that Jesus would ever have his compassion paralyzed like maybe ours is. But if we step back, if we sort of do that time machine biblical travel thing and take a look at the first century, what we would realize is that if anyone's compassion should have been paralyzed, it should have been Jesus. Jesus lived in a day and a time when infant mortality was extraordinary. I would guess somewhere running in the 85 or 90% of children never lived to adulthood. The average life expectancy of an adult was probably no more than 40 years. All around him was death, war, famine. And so even if Jesus spent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week healing people, if he just settled down and sort of put up this Jesus heals everybody shop, he still wouldn't have made a dent in the infant mortality rate. He wouldn't have made a dent in the lifespan of the average person. And so you can imagine how frustrating that must have been, that he has all of this amazing power of God to heal people and to do these miraculous things, and yet in the end he knows that it isn't going to solve the world's problems. And so maybe it could just paralyze him and he could go back to Nazareth and set up a nice sort of carpenter shop and say, I'm done. But as we see in our morning story, that's not the way Jesus' compassion works. So the story this morning, it opens with Jesus and his disciples and a bunch of people who have started following him. He's sort of gathering these crowds around him. And he heads to a town called Nain. Now, Nain's just probably some small village, kind of like Cut and Shoot, Texas, you know, that no one knows anything about it. No one particularly cares, except the people who live in Cut and Shoot. But as he's coming into the town, he sees a funeral procession coming out. And there are men carrying a bier, as they call it. It's the pallet on which the body, the deceased, is laid. And he notices that behind the bier is a woman. This woman is alone. Though there are sort of maybe family behind her, maybe there are people from the village behind her, but there is no husband beside her. There are no other sons with her. And Jesus realizes that the man on the bier is probably her only son. And Scripture says he has compassion for her. In that moment, he is moved by her plight, that without a husband or a son to take care of her, she will probably end up on the streets. She will end up begging because she has no one's house or home to go to. And so Jesus goes up to the bier and he touches it and they stop. And he reaches out and he raises the son. And the son speaks. And he gives the son to his mother. Jesus gives life. And he doesn't just give it by raising the man from the dead. I think sometimes that's where we focus. It's like it's all about this man. But notice the compassion was for the mother. And by raising the son and giving him back to the mother, he gives life to the mother as well. Because now she has someone to care for her, to watch over her, to create a home in which she can come. Chances are Jesus didn't heal everybody he saw. He didn't raise everyone from the dead. But in this moment, he is moved. His compassion is there. And that is the cure for compassion paralysis. It is allowing ourselves to imitate that same compassion. But part of that is understanding what biblical compassion really is all about. Biblical compassion, and interestingly enough, it's not a frequently used word in the New Testament. In the Gospels, it's only Jesus who has compassion. But biblical compassion, what it's all about, there's two pieces. Biblical compassion is a desire to give life and a willingness to give it as and when we can. Let me say that again. Biblical compassion is a desire to give life and a willingness to give it as, when, and how we can. So the first part, it's a desire to give life. Now, thinking about the story, unless some of you have been holding out on me, I don't think any of you can raise people from the dead. Any of you? Okay, all right, So when biblical compassion talks about giving life, it's not simply about physical life, raising someone from the dead, okay? It is about enhancing life, augmenting life, because in the scriptures, life is more than what we do when we breathe in and out. It's more than physical life. It's the fullness of what it means to be alive. It's the fullness of being a human being. It's having enough to eat. It's having a roof over our heads. It's receiving an education so that we can live into the fullness of who God has created us to be. And so the first part of this is a desire to enhance the lives of those who need our help. So let me ask, how many of you desire to give life? Okay, you're on your way. You're on your way. The second part, it's not just the desire, it's the willingness to offer life when and how we can. Bill and Melinda Gates are, I don't know if they are the richest, but almost the richest couple in the world. Even they, without all of their billions, are not trying to solve every problem in the world. Their foundation focuses on a few specific needs. Former President Jimmy Carter and the Carter Foundation, they decided they would focus on one issue, and that was getting rid of guinea worms in the third world. And interestingly enough, 10 years ago, there were 35 million cases. Last year, there were 22. Okay? So, but it's focus. And that's part of what compassion is. Compassion is not, well, I feel for everybody, and because I feel for everybody, I can't do anything because I can't choose. It is saying, where am I? What resources do I have? How can I bring those resources to bear upon one thing? Or two things? Maybe three things. When and how we can. Because none of us have the money of the Gates. I don't know, maybe someone? of Bill and Melinda Gates. But all of us have what we need to give life. It can be as simple as loose change in the loose change offering. It can be as simple as a smile and a hug and a handshake to someone who is feeling down and discouraged. It can be giving an hour at Alcott, helping a student who's struggling with reading or math. It can be adopting a child through the program we have here this morning. It can be any or all of these things. But there is something, there is at least one thing that all of us can do. And so the cure is to say, yes, I desire to give life. And I'm willing to choose at least one thing to do. How many of you think you could choose one thing to do? You are unparalyzed. You are cured. Because that is the challenge of our society. It is so easy for us to be overwhelmed. But remember, just like Jesus didn't heal every person he met, he didn't raise everyone from the dead, but there were those moments, those instances when his compassion was stirred. And Jesus gave life, something that each and every one of us can do. So that's my challenge for this week. My challenge for you as the communion elements are passed, and then as you go out from here, is to ask yourself, what one thing can I do this week, to break the paralysis and to give life? Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you have given us life, that you held nothing back from us, but gave us your own Son, Jesus Christ, who held nothing back and gave his life for us. Help us to be inspired by that and go from this place giving life however and whenever we can. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.